In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome, and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters were gathered together, and he called them seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
technique. William Barclay, one of the great Bible scholars of a previous generation who became very popular because his work was so very readable, wrote this. Why did God create the world? Why did he set the whole process going? If he was aware that the world could not be other than a heartbreak to him. It may be that the startling answer to that question is that God had to create the world, that he was under the compulsion of his own being to create. Why? God is love, and love cannot exist in isolation. Love must have something to love and someone to love it. If there was only one being and one person in the universe, there could be no such thing as love. But then we have to ask, why did God not create a world which would love him? A world in which this love was a certainty? The answer to this question is clear and even obvious. There can be no such thing as love unless love is free. A being made in such a way that he was bound to love his creator would paradoxically be unable to love. It's the great conundrum at the heart of things. As today we celebrate the natural world and try to concentrate as much as possible today only on celebration, we cannot not recognize that alongside all the beauty there is the cruel sea, piteous weather, nature red in tooth and claw. And us. This little poem is called Man. In the beginning, he was bone, lonely. Slowly, he named the world. It festered round him like a garden. Anything was possible then. He didn't need clothes, claws, bark, scales or raw. His only tool was his word. With it he could farm, fight. He needed a sword. He named it a sword. He could make a sword. It wasn't enough. Bone moaned. Flesh crawled. From am to will be was miles, aeons, alone. He slept, dreamt godlike dreams. When he woke, she was there, sharp as a sword. They farmed, fought, filled the garden with the word. One day, after they had eaten, found something crawling in the garden, fought against the loneliness of their bone, something came they couldn't name, like a flame, a sword, blame. They left the garden. This was unexpected, fresh. Later, when they were together, they felt alone. Her flesh crawled like his flesh. Her bone moaned like his bone. So today we celebrate and lay down a marker for the next couple of weeks, for we are spoiling the world. We do not love the creation, the creator, each other, ourselves, as we ought. The celebration is real and heartfelt and can't be overstated, but then there must be confession of what we have done and of what we have not done, and prayer that we might do things better in the future. And overall, a recognition that at the last, in the mystery of the thing, the making of the universe and the saving of the universe, so that what is might become what God wants there to be, is God's purpose through Christ.
The first chapter of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.